This is the Jewish News Podcast in association with Genesis Philanthropy Group, supporting Jewish communities worldwide.
Good evening and welcome to this very special event with JW3 in partnership with the Jewish News. My name is Raymond Simonson. I'm the CEO of JW3. There was only one topic of conversation around Shabbat tables in the British Jewish community this weekend, and of course it was the fallout from the visit to the UK of Chaver Knesset, the Minister of the Knesset, Smotrich last week, and the reaction of the Board of Deputies of British Jews and other Jewish leaders that sent reverberations around the Jewish world and led to lots of questions being asked about Israel-diaspora relationships. Very quickly, Justin Cohen, the news editor of the Jewish News, and I had a conversation and said, we really need to bring people together to have this conversation. Because one thing that JW3 and the Jewish News have got in common is the ability to bring people together to raise the quality, the variety and volume of Jewish conversation. So I'm really delighted that we have yet again responded to the critical issues that matter to British Jewish community. So without further ado, I'd like to hand over to Michael Daventry, the foreign and broadcast editor of the Jewish News, who will introduce our guests for a riveting conversation. Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Raymond. Hello, I'm pleased to welcome you all to this panel event organised jointly by Jewish News and JW3. It's also going out as a podcast, which is produced weekly by the Jewish News in association with Genesis Philanthropy Group, which supports Jewish communities worldwide. The topic we're here to discuss is Bezalel Smotrich, a member of the Knesset and leader of the Religious Zionist Party, whose visit to London last week attracted more attention, perhaps, than he expected. It was part of what he describes as a tour, meeting members and representatives of the Jewish communities in Europe. But many of those organisations appeared quite desperate to disassociate themselves from him. So perhaps most remarkably of the lot was the Board of Deputies of British Jews, an organisation not known necessarily for its outlandish remarks, who tweeted in Hebrew that he was not welcome. Get back on the plane, Bezalel, and be remembered as a disgrace forever, is what they said. So joining me to discuss a very interesting series of events is Fleur Hassan Nahum, a British Israeli national and currently Deputy Mayor of Jerusalem. Yaakov Katz is an American-born Israeli journalist and the Editor-in-Chief of the Jerusalem Post. And Dov Ben Shimon is Executive Vice President of the Jewish Federation of Greater Metro West New Jersey over in the United States. I'm very pleased, thank you very much, that you were all able to join us at such short notice. And Yaakov, I want to begin with you because, in addition to the Jewish News, the Jerusalem Post was one of the first news organisations out there quite late on a Thursday night to pick up on, or rather on a Wednesday night, to pick up on the Board of Deputies' tweet. I wonder what you saw, what you thought when you saw it. What was your reaction to see, firstly, a tweet in Hebrew and one that was making an Israeli politician making it clear that he wasn't welcome?
You're 100% right. It happened on Wednesday night. As a matter of fact, I was home and I came across the tweet and I actually wrote the initial story myself that went online and became the top of our website. It actually gained a lot of traffic because of how interesting and how, I think, as you pointed out correctly, how out of the ordinary this was for a large, very respectable organization like the Board of Deputies in the United Kingdom to put out a statement like that. And, also to put it out in Hebrew, I think just added to the mystery of what was happening here. It was something that I think I can speak of myself, who has been involved in journalism and in Israeli diaspora relations in this hat for the last 20 years or so. I can't remember something like this. And that's what made it so interesting. I think also people have a perception of British Jews being very dignified, respectable, not necessarily speaking in the way that that tweet came out. And that also made it, you know, all the more peculiar and of interest and compelling, I think, for such a wide audience. So to me, right away when I saw it, I said, okay, this is a big deal. And we made it the top of our website where it sat for a couple of hours until the next day on Thursday when one of our reporters actually interviewed Bezalel Smotrich and he continued to make what I would describe, and this is my opinion, more disgraceful comments when he started to compare British Jewry to German Jews pre-Holocaust. So the guy was digging an even deeper hole for himself. But that just added to, you know, I think he was playing his political game. We can talk about that as we continue, but that's the answer.
Well, let's get to that interview a little bit later on, because I would like to return to that. It was very interesting what he told you. But just focusing on the incident on that Wednesday night for the moment, Fleur, I'd like to come to you, because you tweeted that you felt, and I'm paraphrasing you here, so please correct the record if I get it wrong, but you tweeted that you were uncomfortable with his views, but you were also uncomfortable with the treatment that was laid out by the British Board of Deputies towards Bezalel Smotrich. Is that true?
Absolutely. Well, yes. First of all, thanks again for holding this panel. I think it's fantastic that we can actually air this, talk it out. This is what I'm uncomfortable with, and I want to make a separation here between style and substance. As Yaakov quite rightly said, we have here a very respectable, I think if I'm not wrong, the longest or the oldest Jewish organization in Europe or the world, something crazy like that, writing in Hebrew, but writing in a very, I believe, in a very rough manner. And this is where I want to talk about the style. And I was much more offended about the style than I was about the substance. Because I think an organization that is supposed to be representing all of the Jewish people in the UK, all of the Jewish organizations in the UK as an umbrella organization, has to constantly be as less divisive as possible. And what I believe is, and I can put my hand on fire, that this was written by an Israeli. The idea was written by an Israeli living in London, because this is not the style, or it's not in the dignified manner that an umbrella organization representing everything should talk. That's style. I think they shot themselves in the foot, and even people who might have been sympathetic to the tweet were against it because of the very kind of crass way that it was written. Even Yair Lapid, who of course has no love lost between him and Smotrich, said, you know, the guy's a racist, they've got a point, but it really shouldn't have been written in this way. So I think that even people that you could have gained sympathy from were put off by the style of the tweet. So that's the first thing. And that's really initially why I kind of, you know, I wrote what I wrote. But in terms of, and I want to, in comparison, talk about the Zionist Federation's tweet, which to me was much more what I would have liked to have seen from the Board of Deputies as an umbrella organization. And they said, you know, we should all condemn Bezalel Smotrich, I'm paraphrasing, right wing, you know, hatred, division, agree with all of it. And he says, we call upon those rabbis, community leaders, and Jewish organizations who have agreed to meet with him to challenge his views. That, I believe, much more in the spirit of the Jewish people debate, and the rich history we have of disagreeing and to try and win by argument. But the other thing that I will say is that the Board of Deputies tweet gave Bezalel Smotrich a nobody abroad, gave him the platform he did not deserve and turned him into a martyr and a hero. And I'm annoyed about that, because if they wouldn't have written anything, who would he have met with? Nobody. He's not of interest to anybody. And the Board of Deputies made him an interesting subject. And I'm even more angry about that.
Well, Dov, I want to come to you on that particular point, because you're based over in the United States, of course, and this is something that involves an Israeli politician visiting Europe. So why are we talking to you about this? You may, many listeners might be asking. And it's that question that Fleur pointed out just at the end of her comments. It's about this oxygen of publicity. When did you find out about it? And did you find out, do you think that the oxygen of publicity was given to Bezalel Smotrich as a result of what happened here in London last week?
Thank you, Michael, and thank you for having me. And I should point out that I'm not only the chief executive officer of a large American Jewish Federation, I'm also a British-born Israeli. So my triple identities have come into play a lot in the last week, first seeing this in Yaakov's reporting, and also from a lot of my friends both in Israel and in Britain on social media. There is a point where I do believe that good things can come out of these difficult conversations. I do think that Fleur has an interpretation to which I would lean, which is that there was a lot of oxygen given to somebody that didn't really deserve it. And I do think that with tremendous respect and admiration that I have for the Board of Deputies in the UK, they did play a hand that didn't serve them completely well here. And I can only give you an example from my own community, just a mile down the road. We have one of the largest Reform synagogues in the United States that was visited by an Israeli member of Knesset some, I'm guessing, 30, 35 years ago, who walked out and said, this is Avodat Elilim, this is idol worship, and said some very disparaging things about the American Reform community. The decision at the time, which I think was the correct decision, was, notwithstanding the cruelty and the inappropriateness of his remarks, this was an opportunity to engage with this politician who clearly was speaking out of ignorance. That politician was Ruvi Rivlin, who then went on to be the president of the State of Israel. I am not making a comparison between...
Be careful what you ask.
Just be clear. Yeah, thank you, Yaakov. I am not making a comparison. There is no comparison. But I do think that when we have opportunities to engage, when there are people that reflect an Israeli political consensus, no matter how objectionable we may think their ideals would be, it may sometimes be shooting ourselves in the foot to just immediately come out with a cherem, with an excommunication on them for visiting our community.
I guess I'm interested, and I'd like to open this out to everyone, whoever would like to come in, please do. I'm interested in the point where the line is drawn, because what we haven't done so far is we've talked about the mechanics of what happened last week, about the tweets and the visits, and we haven't talked about some of the responses that Smotrich tweeted and also the interview that he gave to the Jerusalem Post. We'll get to that. But I'm interested about the substance, because there are very few Europeans and very few American Jews who would align themselves with some of the things that Smotrich has said, not just because of the views that he's expressed on LGBT members of the LGBTQ plus community or about Israeli Arabs and about Palestinians, but he's also been remarkably, I think it's fair to say, offensive about other Jews. And so there comes a point where we have to ask the question, where do we draw the line? Does every single Israeli politician deserve respect simply because they are a member of the Knesset? Who'd like to come in on that? Yaakov.
I'd like to say something, if possible. So I actually think that what the Board of Deputies did, and I say this in my personal opinion, so I don't speak on behalf of the Jerusalem Post in this, I think it's admirable. I think that, as you pointed out, Michael, Bezalel Smotrich has made disgraceful comments throughout his political career, speaking in a disparaging way of pluralistic, progressive Jewish groups and people from the Reform conservative movement, bringing animals to gay pride parades and talking about how disgusting gay people are. The way he speaks about Arabs, the comments that he's made about how his wife would not want to share a room in a maternity ward with an Arab lady. All of this is racist, derogatory comments that should not be tolerated, not in the UK, by the way. They shouldn't be tolerated in Israel. And I think that we as Israelis, I at least, looked at what the Board of Deputies did and I said, wow, I wish Israelis would be able to do that. The problem is, and I think that what the Board of Deputies said is actually a stain on us in Israel, because we should be the ones who should be saying, we will not tolerate this type of rhetoric. We will not tolerate this type of political discourse. And instead, we've normalized it. We've legitimized it. We've justified it. And therefore, when we see someone in Britain who says, no, this isn't legitimate, this isn't normal, we get all bent out of shape. But maybe they're the normal people. Maybe they're the ones who are actually right. We're the ones who aren't normal. They are normal. And I think that that's the complicated reality here for us Israelis is actually what's happening is a mirror has been held up to ourselves and we're looking at it and we're a little embarrassed with what we're seeing. We needed someone in London to tell us what our moral compass should be. And I think that they're right in this case.
Fleur, is that the case? Have you, over in Israel, not personally normalised, but as Israeli society, have you normalised Bezalel Smotrich?
I think I would, I agree with Yaakov, but I think I would express it in a different way. I think we have a higher pain threshold in terms of what we tolerate. And I will say that that goes for everyone, not just for the bigots on the right, but also for the anti-Zionists on the left, also for the Arab MKs who constantly, in Arabic, call on, you know, the Palestinian cause to come and storm Jerusalem. I don't think we can point to one particular place in the political map and say, oh, they're the worst and everybody else is okay and we're tolerating them. I think in general, we have a very high tolerance threshold, which is bad. Yes, I'm with Yaakov. It is bad. Look, I'm in the Jerusalem City Council, okay? 50% of the members of City Council are ultra-Orthodox. I spend my time, you know, defending the LGBT plus community. I spend my time defending the pluralism of Jerusalem. But even my tolerance threshold is high because I'm hearing this all the time. So yes, Yaakov is right, but I don't think we can point at one particular. I think Smotrich is particularly abhorrent. But has anybody checked on Sami Abu Shahadeh, who is a member of Knesset, who comes to Europe all the time and says the worst things about Israel, in the worst terms? Did the Board of Deputies put out a tweet when he's in town? Let's just try and be balanced. And let's just try and look at the entire picture before we start pointing at one particular bigot over another particular bigot. There's many bigots. None of it should be tolerated.
I think Fleur is right.
None of it should be tolerated, but we have this. We have this higher threshold, and I wish it wasn't. I just want to say one more point.
Go on.
On the other extreme, I think in America, for example, you can't say anything anymore. And that is also unbearable. And who is suffering from that? Us Jews and us Zionists, who will not be given a platform only because we're Zionists, and if we're Zionists, we're racist. So that is the other extreme. I don't want to get to the way that tolerance level is so low now. There has to be a way in the middle.
Let's not get into American politics quite yet. That would be a fascinating discussion for another time. But Dov, Fleur used the phrase their higher pain threshold. And what that triggered in me was a perfect illustration of this growing divide between Israeli Jews and diaspora Jews and diaspora Jews' attitude towards Israel. It's not a schism, but there is a difference in attitude. And as generations pass by, it seems to be growing. Did it have the same sort of
recollection? I think that's a really good point. Listen, I was listening to your interview a couple of weeks ago with Nachman Shai, who's the Minister of Diaspora Affairs. And when you think about having finally in the Israeli government a government minister who is really attuned to the diaspora to a level, I think, that we haven't seen for many of predecessors, ironically, one of probably the most diaspora-attuned diaspora affairs minister before Nachman Shai was Naftali Bennett, which is a whole other conversation we should all be having about what the relationship has meant under Naftali Bennett's premiership. Look, there is a challenge, and I think I get nervous with the whataboutism, why are we saying that this person is objectionable, therefore we have to look at the objectionable sides on the other. Some things are objectionable and we can call them out one by one. We don't have to completely find the balance on each. On the schism with diaspora Jewry in Israel, I want to give you one example that I think is very helpful. We have traditionally, and I think in the UK you have this too, brought in shluchim, we have brought in emissaries and shinshinim pre-army to teach us a version of Israel. You could cynically say from a Hasbara perspective, you could appropriately and optimistically say from a love and partnership perspective, to bring the diaspora closer to Israel. What I think we are finding is that the old model of 17, 18-year-olds or 22, 23-year-olds coming to our communities and giving us a model that is supposed to bridge this schism, bridge this gap, is no longer valid. And I think one of the interesting ways that we have a responsibility in the diaspora to bridge this gap is to see, for example, shlichim, for example, the visits of members of Knesset to explain Israel as a two-way process. I've always seen in our community, we bring in many, many shlichim, we bring in many delegates, delegations of members of Knesset, and so on and so forth. These are opportunities not just for them to teach us about Israel, but for us to teach them about Jewry. And we have many of these shlichim, and we have many of these people that come in and say, they come in as Israelis and they leave here as Jews. And to say that one side has a monopoly on identity, to say that one side has a monopoly on ideology, I think is something that, thankfully, we are more and more moving away from.
Fleur or Yaakov, either of you really, that's I think Dov touched on an interesting point there. As the two Israelis on the panel, or people based in Israel at the time, is there something that you observe, a sort of a difference in attitudes by diaspora Jews towards Israel?
There's for sure a problem here, right? I think what Dov is talking about is definitely one of the greatest challenges, I think, for the Jewish state and for the Jewish people in the recent years and also going forward, right? The nature of the relationship between diaspora Jewry and the state of Israel has been changing. It no longer tells the same story and taps into the same emotional connection that it once created for people. And I think that that's what we're facing right now. And Bezalel Smotrich falls into that to an extent, because if in the past this idea of, let's say, boycotting or banning or calling out in a very public way a Israeli member of Knesset is something that you would not have heard of, 10, 15, 20 years ago. Nowadays, it can be legitimate, and that is because of this divide and the schism that now exists between diaspora Jewry and the state of Israel. Criticism is allowed today in ways that it wasn't allowed in the past. I think it's a good thing, by the way. I think it's healthy that we need to re-examine and redefine and create new bonds and new narratives that connect between us. We can't assume that what connected our parents' generation and our grandparents' generation is what's going to connect our children's generation or even ourselves. So that itself is interesting. And I think the Bezalel Smotrich affair highlights this challenge that we're all facing. Just one comment about something that Dov said and also what Fleur said about, I do think, the whataboutism that Dov mentioned, I just want to say that where I do agree with Fleur, though, Dov, is that the challenge will be on the Board of Deputies the next time one of those Knesset members comes to London. What do they do? So it's not that we have to justify calling out Bezalel Smotrich by also calling out the other side. It's like, a disagreement I have with people on the right when I talk about settler violence. They're like, well, why aren't you talking about Palestinian violence? So I say, I don't have to talk about Palestinian violence to be able to talk about settler violence. Of course, both are bad, but there's nothing wrong. If we have a problem, we're allowed to talk about it. So I think it's fine what the Board of Deputies did with Bezalel Smotrich, but the question will be, okay, one of these Ayman Uda, Ahmed Tibi, or someone else comes to...
Yair Golan. Or Yair Golan, who said settlers are subhuman. What are they going to do when he arrives in London?
Right, so what will the Board of Deputies do? And I think that's where they're going to find themselves in a problem when that happens, and that's when they'll be called out for so that's what they might have set themselves up for. Let's see how they deal with it. I mean, we don't know, right? So that's their challenge.
I agree with Yaakov. I think they've opened a Pandora's box that is going to be very difficult for them to get out of, because as it is, they've experienced a lot of criticism in general. At least, look, how did I find out about this? I'm not the chief editor of the Jerusalem Post, so I didn't find out about it Wednesday night. I woke up on Thursday morning to 10 messages from British Jews telling me how disgraceful, look what the Board of Deputies has written. So for me, it was a completely different experience. And I think that now they've opened themselves up to what Yaakov is saying. What's going to happen when a Yair Golan, who recently said that settlers are subhuman, or other politicians from different sides, Jews and Arabs alike, I think it's going to be very problematic for them. And I think they've opened a Pandora's box that is only going to divide the community rather than, make the community more cohesive. But the question of the Israel-diaspora relationship is absolutely the most crucial question. As you guys know, I'm running as a contender for the chair of the Jewish Agency. That is the question. That is the main question. That is what everybody should be asking themselves. And I think that the relationship has evolved. I think that we have not done a great job, as we, I say, Israel, in engaging with the unaffiliated. I think the affiliated, getting kids to Israel, there's so many programs, there's so many different ways of doing it. But what are we doing about the unaffiliated? What are we doing about campus anti-Semitism? What are we doing about relating to young people where they're at? Not where we are at and not where we want them to be, going to where they're at. And these are big questions for the Jewish, Israel and diaspora leadership. And my regret is that I think most Israelis are not even thinking about it. That's my regret. And I think Bezalel Smotrich is a very extreme version of something that I've noticed in Israel. And that is that most Israelis are very provincial and only think about what's going on here, in their own street, in their own town, in their own city, and in their own countries, especially from the Zionist religious sector. I find there's a lot of ignorance, a lot of provincialism. People are not like in the old days, that Israelis were people of the world. That is becoming less and less. And the ignorance of that is the result of, the extreme result is people like Bezalel Smotrich and his ilk.
I actually wanted to make just a point, picking up from what Yaakov said, that I do think that the history of Israel diaspora relations isn't just rainbows and kittens, right? We've got this isn't the first time we've seen this story of diaspora communities objecting to visits of Israeli politicians, sometimes far more vehemently. But this isn't the first time we've seen this story. And just to pick up on what Fleur said, Israel isn't the only place with a high degree of provincialism. In terms of how it reacts to Israel diaspora relations, you know, we are blessed with some of those aspects too, as I know the UK is as well. Let me just try to put this more positively, because for many of us who love Israel, and for those of us who are in the diaspora and are regularly in contact with Israel, Israel for us isn't just the Bezalel Smotrich issue. It isn't just the high politics issue that we're facing today. I'll be in 2 weeks. I'm spending time in Ofer Kim, I'm spending time in Merchavim, I'm spending time in the Negev and in Arad. I do think there has to be a conversation at some point about the reframing of how we in the diaspora communities, and especially diaspora communal leadership, figure out the nature of our partnerships in Israel and what level of strategic importance we give to the high politics, as opposed to what I think is actually far more important, which is the people-to-people relationships. And what worries me about these conversations on one level is that we are defining more and more our relationship between diaspora communities and Israel in terms of rigid political structures and ideology and forgetting the people-to-people relationship. That's why, without commenting on what Fleur is running for, I think that the role of, for example, the Jewish Agency, the role of Jewish Federation systems, the role of many of the Zionist organizations that you have in Israel are going to be far more critical in the coming years, not because of people like Bezalel Smotrich and whether or not they're coming to the UK, but whether or not they can create situations in which your kids, my grandkids too, see what's happening in Israel as theirs and see that they are connected. I want to give you one tiny example, if you don't mind. When there was the last round of rocket attacks from Gaza into the south of Israel, my kids saw a rocket falling from, we were here back, this was still during COVID, I think it was a year and a half ago. My kids saw that a rocket had fallen on the garage of a friend of theirs in Ofer Kim. This wasn't a political issue for them. This wasn't a strategic military issue. This was a friend. This was something that somebody that they cared deeply about. And what makes me uncomfortable about some of this line of discussion is that if we keep Israel diaspora relations fixed on the political, strategic, military balance of lunatic politicians who are going off the edge, we're forgetting what we're actually meant to love and respect and support in each other.
Mm. And presumably, Dov, this is coming straight back to you, one of the ways of maintaining that relationship is more visits like the one that you'll be doing in 2 weeks. More diaspora people need to go over.
Look, and I think this ties back directly to what Fleur is saying, and she is rightly concerned, as am I, with the rising levels of anti-Zionism, the rising levels of alienation, I think she said, on campus from Jewish students. We're not going to forget. But leaving aside for one moment anti-Semitism and attacks on Jews in your communities and our communities, what makes me nervous and what I think makes all of us nervous is, are our kids, are our grandkids going to have that love and affection that so many of us had from Israel when we were growing up? It's that I think that the solution for so much of this is showing up. And precisely at this moment, to bring this back, sadly, one more time to this man, is he going to be the person that defines our relationship in the diaspora to Israel? God, I hope not. Because at the end of the day, how much do you need to pay attention to the clowns in the circus to understand the relationships that we have?
Indeed. You said, sadly, one more time. I'm going to be doing it a second time or a third time, however many times we've been bringing up Bezalel Smotrich's name. I'm going to be doing it in just a moment. But perhaps listeners and viewers may be thinking that the elephant in the room is the Board of Deputies, because we've been talking a lot about procedure and about what happened when a tweet was tweeted and another tweet followed. We did ask the Board of Deputies if they would like to join. No one was available, but as every member of this panel will attest, this panel was compiled very, very quickly, and not everyone was able to drop things at the last minute to join. excuse me. But having said that, I think, Yaakov, let's come back to you, because you did speak, your newspaper did speak to Bezalel Smotrich to interview him on the back of the unexpected wave of publicity, unexpected to him as well, that he received after visiting London and moving on to Paris. For those of our listeners and viewers who haven't seen what the Jerusalem Post was able to cover, can you give us a quick summary? What did he tell you?
Well, basically, he defended himself. He felt that he did nothing wrong. He's on a trip to Europe to garner support against reforms that the government is trying to pass, whether it's in conversion, other changes to what he refers to as the balance of religion and state in Israel. And he would like to preserve as an Orthodox. He would like to preserve the Orthodox monopoly over what's happening in Israel in terms of religion, state. That's what he claims was the pretext and the reason he was even traveling to London and then to Paris subsequently. What he said, though, which I think was played into his political interests. Let's also remember here, right? The Board of Deputies, I think, did something that morally for them was right. But to think it did not cause him damage, right? Bezalel Smotrich, for his base constituency, his political base, they look at him as a hero, right? He's going off to London to show those progressive, liberal, flaming Jews, right? What it means to be a man of faith and a proud, modern Jew of the State of Israel, right? So that's how he's promoting this. And therefore, in the...
But how does it play to his base to make comparisons to events leading up to the Second World War?
Right, so there you go again. So what he then told us in the interview on Thursday was that these Jews are weak on anti-Semitism. I'm strong on anti-Semitism. You need to be a proud Jew who fights against anti-Semitism, stands up for Israel's right to live anywhere in the land of Israel, stands up for the Jewish pride wherever it might be. And therefore, these Jews are like the Jews before the Holocaust in Germany, who thought that the Germans would never come for us, and they're weak, and this is what happened. And I think that for his base and his political supporters, they love hearing that, right? That's what they want to hear. So this actually, this did not cause Bezalel Smotrich any damage, I think, politically speaking.
At all.
Correct.
The opposite.
The opposite, Fleur.
The total opposite. This is what he actually looks for. This is what the man looks for. And this is why I'm so angry that he got it from the Board of Deputies. And I want to say a few more things. Look, the two poor, unsuspecting Bnei Akiva counselors that met with him, you know, the Mizrahi movement has been threatened. Donors are threatening to cut funding. And I think these are the ugly sides of this crazy cancel culture that I don't like and that I don't think we should normalize. And that is that you have these two kids, okay, from two counselors from Bnei Akiva who unsuspectingly met Bezalel Smotrich. Why? Because Bezalel Smotrich had no meetings in the UK until this happened. And for now, the organization that employs them to have to come under fire because of this meeting that was unofficial, you know, nobody knew about, I think is tragic, because the Mizrahi organization is a good organization doing great work, bringing together the Jews of the UK and connecting them to Israel, youth movements, lots of wonderful things that they do. And they're coming under attack. So I think we all have to kind of bring it in a little bit, isolate who the bigot is, try not to help him advance his political career, and not blame unsuspecting good Jewish organization that got caught in the crossfire.
Dov, were there victims of the crossfire?
Well, look, on any given day, Jewish communities like the UK Jewish communities, like ours, like many other diaspora communities, are trying to organize coalitions to support people, Jews in need, to rescue Jews who need help right now. We have to give food and medicine and home care to tens of thousands of Jews across the world. We have to partner with the Israeli government on thousands of programs, some through the, our friends in the American Jewish Joint Distribution Committee, some through the Jewish Agency for Israel. With the UK, I think you have World Jewish Relief and a bunch of other great organizations. This approach to pinpoint a politically dilettantish way of thinking through a single issue with no iteration, at the end of the day, tomorrow we still have to feed people, we still have to clothe people, we still have to be ready for rescue operations, we still have to work for Jewish education and build coalitions on campuses. That's not helpful. It's not going to get us to where we need.
But where do we need to be?
We need to have a level of dialogue that says this man is not relevant for the future of Israel diaspora relations. And I don't remember who said it, and I apologize. But in terms of giving Smotrich a platform he just didn't deserve, why would we do that? Because we felt it was right, and they felt it was the moral thing to make a statement. I fully respect that, I do. But we also have a lot of things on the Jewish communal agenda, not just in terms of our relationship with Israel, but also in terms of our relationships with the people of Israel. And I think that has to be the main focus.
Flo, just as we're coming to the end of this podcast, of this recording, I wonder if you would, if we came back all together this time next year in February 2023, do you think that this visit, the visit of Bezalel Smotrich to London and then to Paris and the rage that happened afterwards, is this something that we would be immediately recollecting? Or do you think this might actually be one of those defining moments in the charted history of relations between Israel and its diaspora? And the Jewish diaspora?
Well, I would hope this is not something that we recollect or drudge up. But I'm afraid that I think the Board of Deputies have put themselves into a corner that is going to be very difficult for them to get out of. As it is, they have to be the unifying organization of the UK Jewish community. And what they did last week, I'm afraid, has caused divisions rather than what they're supposed to be doing, which is the opposite. So I'm more worried about the state of the community in the UK than I'm worried about the relationship between the UK and Israel.
And Yaakov, presumably, you already said this earlier in the episode, but it might be worth expanding on a little bit. The next time an extremist Israeli politician pays a visit to London, you will presumably be watching the Board of Deputies Twitter feed quite closely.
Well, I think that'll be interesting to see what happens. But I'll tell you something, Michael, what will also be interesting to see, and I'll put the spotlight on Dove because he happens to be here, but what happens tomorrow when Bezalel Smotrich or another extreme member of parliament from Israel visits the Metro West area or district in New Jersey or the Jewish or Chicago or LA or any of these other cities in the United States, what will those Jewish federations do? And I think that this, so it's your question also of whether this will be a defining moment, that will largely depend on is this just the beginning? And are other or Jewish mainstream umbrella groups like the Board of Deputies, like the one that Dove leads in New Jersey, are they going to maybe see this as something that they need to follow? And you know, I'm not Dove. I don't mean to put the spotlight on you.
No, it's good.
But I think it's an interesting question.
Well, Dove, you've been name checked twice there, so the last word must go to you.
So the latter, I'll give you a flippant response and a more thoughtful response. The flippant response is always, to quote Ariel Sharon, whenever a Jewish communal professional needs a good quote from somebody, always find something that Ariel Sharon said, always worth. And in this case, I would say to you, in other words, if you had no expectations from a person, you won't be disappointed from them, right? And this is clearly the case. For somebody in this case, like Smotrich, to come, like, you have no expectations from anything good to come out of this, so you won't be disappointed anyway. To be more sincere and to be actually trying to answer Yaakov's question and your question, I get very uncomfortable in a community as pluralistic as ours in New Jersey, and I would say probably in yours, and I know the British Jewish community well. I get very uncomfortable when people try to exclude people from the camp, no matter how objectionable their opinions, not just from a moral and ethical standpoint, but also because tactically, I think it's a foolish move for us to draw a line and say that people aren't allowed to cross over it. I do think there is a redemptive quality in Israeli politics. Some of our worst politicians in Israel have become our most interesting surprises. I have no illusions. Again, I have no expectations about the future of certain individuals, but I do get uncomfortable about keeping people outside the machane, about keeping people outside the camp.
Fascinating, fascinating. And that's it for this conversation, jointly organised by the Jewish News and JW3. Thank you very much for your company. It was a transatlantic, transcontinental edition of the Jewish News podcast in association with Genesis Philanthropy Group. Through its partners, GPG is working to support the growth of Jewish community life in the UK and worldwide. To find out more, visit www.gpg.org. All that's left for me to do is to thank Fleur Hassan Nahum, Yaakov Katz and Dov Ben-Shimon, my colleagues at JW3, Raymond Simonson and Zoe Steele, as well as Justin Cohen, Leo Mandel and Adam Bradley for their work producing this episode, and to you for listening. Please do subscribe to the show in your podcast application. That way, you'll hear any previous episode or be informed when new episodes become available. Don't forget that you can also go for more information on any of the stories we've discussed, including this one, to our website, jewishnews.co.uk. And if you'd like to comment, then we'd love to hear from you. The address is editorial@jewishnews.co.uk. But from me, Michael Daventry, do join us next time here on the Jewish News Podcast. Goodbye.